you got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there, Book of Luke. A little parable here that I don't really hear often. But it comes in the order we're going through the Book of Luke here. It's in chapter 5, and it's the end of chapter 5. And the subject of this parable is really a new life. It's a new life. It's not a, I saw a cartoon. It was from early 1900s, and it said, had one side, and it said, not a new leaf to turn over, but a new life to receive. And that's what it is. That's in Jesus Christ, you got a new life. And so the Lord makes some statements about the old covenant, the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And there's a little bit of, say, technical information here, but just stuff that you got to know about the relationship that God has with man, and he had with man in the past, and then the relationship he establishes with mankind in Jesus Christ. And so, that all said, let's read just a couple of verses. And I'm going to give you some information and then give you an application of all this. But Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 36, Jesus Christ says, "And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old." Makes sense. "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better." New versus old. That's the idea you see running through this whole thing. New versus old. And some of the historical, maybe technical aspects of this, Jesus Christ is describing the old covenant in Moses and the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And he likens it to a couple of things, which we'll discuss here. But that's the idea. This is what's being explained, and then he'll give you a little application at the end of it. But in Jesus Christ, there is a new life to be lived. It's not a reformation of something that was he's not here to make you a little bit better you. Jesus Christ came to make you a different you, and to make you a child of God, not just a better sinner or just a better, transgressor, whatever. He came to make you a child of God, and that's what he's doing for people. And so in this illustration, you got the old covenant under Moses, which had many limitations, and the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And I will say, for some of you guys, you ought to pay attention to this. Some of you need to pay attention to this fact. The old and the new don't mix. They don't mix. So there's some idea sometimes that floats around that there is this, for the Jewish salvation, there's this old plus new, Moses plus Jesus thing, and Paul dealt with that in Galatians. It's not Moses plus Jesus. Jesus Christ came to offer new life. It's not a mixture. He's not just a little bit amped up version of Moses or whatever. Jesus Christ is a new life. And so some of you may need to pay attention to that. He's expressing very clearly that Moses, old covenant, and new covenant don't mix together. You can't patchwork the new into the old and fix the old, and you can't take from the old and put in the new. The point is, these are different things. These are different things. And so that said, it's very clear what he says about you can't mix with the garment and the wine and all that kind of thing, which we'll deal with. So let's deal with the illustrations that he makes, and then we'll make some application. But the idea is really that runs through this whole thing is it's a new life in Jesus Christ. It's not a new leaf, it's a new life. So the Lord says, first of all, and it says, he spake a parable, and honestly, read this, and I think, I haven't really heard anyone talk about this parable as a parable. You get the mustard seed, you get the sower, you get, these other ones in Matthew, but this one is a parable, and it's an illustration. And so he says, first of all, that no man puts a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new makes a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. So common sense. It's just common sense. You've got a new dress, for instance. Not, ladies, not guys, but you've got a new dress. It's colors, perfect colors for you. Perfect shape. It fits you perfectly. And the best thing about it is it makes you look really good. That's what makes it a good dress. So you also have this old outfit in the garage that you found in a box that was years old. It's got dust on it, and it's been kind of eaten up, and it's kind of ratty and all that. Your first thought would never be, I need to cut up my new dress so I can fix this old thing I found in the garage. And it's such a common sense thing. You would never have that thought. It's so wild how we get with spiritual matters. We get so impractical with spiritual stuff. And so Jesus says, simply put, you got a new garment, you got an old garment. If the old garment's messed up and decaying and old, and you got this new one that's nice and good and you like it, and you would never think, you know what? I'm going to cut up the new one so I can patch up the old one. Well, what does that do? Number one, you destroy the new. Number two, you still don't fix the old. It's still rotted. It's still falling apart, and you don't fix any of it. So he says, this isn't even an option. This isn't something people think about. You don't mix the old and the new. You just don't put these things together. Just like the agreement God had under Moses, it's an old covenant, and the agreement God has in Jesus Christ, new covenant, these are separate things that you don't put together. Just like you wouldn't put together a new garment into an old garment. It doesn't make any sense. All right? So it's a simple common sense illustration, and you as a thinking person understand this perfectly. But for some reason, you get into spiritual matters, and all of a sudden, it's just that we don't think like this, and things get complicated, and I don't know what to do with this and that. And so, these are some of the technical maybe principles Jesus Christ is talking about. Common sense illustration: new dress, old dress. New garment, old garment. You don't mix the two because you're just going to tear up the new one, and you're still not going to fix the old one. Simple, simple illustration. And here's the point he's illustrating. The new covenant in Jesus Christ is the new dress. It's the new garment. The old shirt, the old outfit, that's the old covenant under Moses. No one destroys what's new and perfect to patch something that's old and decaying. These are two historic agreements God makes with man, and they're incompatible. There are shadows of the new and the old, but they're not, you can't mix the agreement together. Jesus Christ is a better sacrifice. He's not the blood of bulls and goats. He's a better sacrifice. He is a better mediator. All of the mediation that went on under the old covenant dealt with sinners who died. You have a priest. Maybe you have a good priest. This guy's a Levite. He's born into this. He's born into his priesthood. And he doesn't have a choice about it. Maybe he's a good priest. Maybe he's a bad priest. But after 70 years, once he dies, he's no longer a priest. All of this Levitical law and stuff, it has no bearing on his life because he's dead. The point is, these mediators lived and died. This old agreement is... It's faulty. Paul would say in Hebrews, it's faulty. It had some faults in it. You can't take the eternal forgiveness from the new covenant and mix it with temporary exemption in the old. You can't do that. You can't take, the knowledge of a God out of the new covenant. Here's a big difference: new covenant to old covenant. And I bear with me. I'm trying to do some of this, these formal things here and deal with some of this technical aspects of this thing. But bear with me if you will. You can't take the knowledge of God out of the new and put it into the old. Here's the difference. In the old covenant, you're born into the old covenant. If you are a child or a descendant of Jacob, you are in the old covenant. If you are a Levite in the old covenant with Moses, you are a priest. In the new covenant in Jesus Christ, you don't even get into the new covenant unless you know God. You're not born into this thing. You, at least not physically born into it. You are spiritually born into it. So Jesus Christ says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the whole point of this. These are two different agreements here. You can't take the perfection of the new covenant and put it into the imperfections in the old covenant. You can't do that. You can't take the new covenant based on spiritual matters and force them into an old agreement based on physical race and lineage. You can't do that. These two things, and these are just examples of why these things are different and why Jesus Christ says what he says. This is what he's illustrating. This is what he's saying. What's going to be made, the agreement that's going to be made in me is new. It's new. It's spiritual. It's new life. It's not based on who you're born to in this family, in this physically born to. It's based on relationship to God Almighty. We'll get to that in a minute. You can't take some of these spiritual matters, force them into an old agreement. If you start taking away from the New Testament some of these things and start trying to put them into the Old Testament, and I'm not saying please understand what I'm saying. These are the New Testament is shadowed in the Old Testament, but the agreements are different. These are different agreements. But you can't take away from the New Testament and Jesus Christ and try to prop up the Old Testament, the Old Covenant under Moses. You tear up the New Testament, you tear up the New Covenant, and it doesn't fix the old. The new doesn't match. And so how does Jesus Christ illustrate it? Very simply. Nobody in their right mind takes from a new garment and puts it on an old to fix an old. Otherwise, the whole thing's messed up. Both of them end up destroyed. Second illustration. It's just a ridiculous idea. And before I get to the second illustration, this ridiculous idea. Here's a couple of verses. I'm going to read them to you. In Hebrews chapter 8, it said that since God called this a new covenant, by virtue of him saying new, that means the first one became old. That's simple. I'm making a new covenant, and by virtue of me making a new covenant in Jesus Christ, the first agreement becomes old now. That's how you have new and old. New Testament, Old Testament, New Covenant, Old Covenant. And Paul dealt with this mixing of these two things with the Jews relentlessly. Galatians, if y'all remember anything about the letter to the Galatians, Paul is dealing with Jews who are coming in saying, look, no, you can choose Jesus Christ, but you also have to choose Moses. And you can choose Jesus Christ, but you also need to do these things that Moses prescribed, circumcision being one of them. And the whole thing is, that's what they're trying to sort out for a while in the New Testament, in Acts and some of these letters. And Paul's still trying to fight that battle over and over with folks that are coming in and saying, no, you got to add the old back to it. You got to add the old back to it. So Paul dealt with the same terrible idea when he wrote to the Galatians. You can't mix the new covenant and Jesus Christ back into the old under the roses. They're different agreements. So there's no such system that's a mixture of two, as Jesus Christ says. It wouldn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It can't make any sense. And he illustrates it in a couple ways, which one we just dealt with. So Jesus said that this idea is so foreign and so ridiculous. Let me just put it in common sense. You don't do this with a new garment as with an old garment. You don't do this. So Jesus Christ, here's some application here. Jesus Christ didn't come to improve or prop up something that was old. Jesus Christ came to present a new agreement between God and man. A new life between God and man. He offers eternal life. And so he came to make a new, and I guess you could say better in the sense that Hebrew says better, agreement between God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come to make bad people a little bit better than bad. That's not what he came to do. He didn't come to make bad people better versions of themselves. Jesus Christ came to create and make new creatures. That's what you read about in Corinthians and Galatians. He says circumcision, it doesn't make any difference in circumcision. What matters to God is a new creature. That's what Jesus Christ is making, new creatures. How? By the words of God, by the work of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. If any man, Paul said it this way, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. He's not a modified version of Moses. He's a new creature. New. Old things, what does he say then? Old things are passed away. We're not trying to mix old and new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. That's the idea. So Paul got it. He explains it pretty well several times. So Jesus Christ is here, and his ministry is to, in this new agreement between God and man, is to make new creatures. Second thing. Second illustration is this wine illustration. He says in verse 37, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. So you don't take something good, a good beverage, good wine here, you don't take something that's good like that and put it into this old garbage container. You don't do it. Now, the bottles, it's like, you know, you put the wine in and it fills up and it expands and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of the idea you're talking about. But simple illustration, you don't take something good, this good beverage, and put it into this old junk. Just don't do that. You've just wasted what's good, and now it's all over the ground, and now everything's ruined. So same illustration. I mean, same principle at work. You don't take the new and put it in the old. In fact, if I'm going to take something new, what I'm going to take and put it in is something new. A new creature. I'm going to put these new principles in a new creature. I'm going to put this new life in a new creature. So that's the idea. You don't take what's new and good and put it in some old container. You put it in something new. So the Lord doesn't take his good gifts and mix them with the old man. The Holy Spirit would be wasted on selfish, proud, person. It just that person couldn't carry the Holy Spirit properly. And so, for instance, Paul says it this way. I'll just read this to you. He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." That's old. Old life, old stuff. They mind the things of the flesh. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." And then Paul goes on to say in Galatians, he says, "Look, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh?" Again, you can't mix this old and new. It's a new life. It's new life in Jesus Christ. "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So the Lord puts his good gifts in clean, new, sanctified vessels." Paul would then go on to say, and pay attention to this one. It's in Timothy. But he says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," and there was a list of things that Paul gave, sins. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." This is where the new wine and the new bottles are preserved. God puts good gifts into a new creature, and therefore the Holy Spirit of God can be contained properly and held properly. So that said, these are two simple illustrations, old and new. And the bigger picture is old covenant, new covenant. That's the thing. But then Jesus Christ says this at the very end. And I sometimes when I read what the Lord said, I've told you before, but I think, why did you say it that way? Why would you say that? But he says this at the very end, verse 39. "No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith the old is better." Historically and in the religious life of the Jewish people that Jesus Christ is dealing with, most of the leadership, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, they had a taste for the old. They had a taste for the old. Everything's about Abraham and Moses, and you know we follow Moses and we listen to Moses and things like that. And so they had a taste for the old. So consequently, when Jesus Christ shows up, there's no appetite for Jesus Christ. But this doesn't just work in this religious system here. It doesn't just work in these agreements that God has made with man. It also works for you and I. We're kind of far removed from this religious history. I say religious history. We're not Jewish people. We didn't grow up in this culture. But there are places we relate to this. There are places we relate to this. And now we get a little bit personal. If you have an appetite, and I will say there is an element of all of us that has an appetite for the old. There's part of you that has an appetite for the old. But if you have an appetite for the old life, the old carnal things, and you live by that appetite, you won't desire ever the new. Why? Because these two don't mix. The flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, those things. If you thirst after pleasure and your whole life is built around pleasure, then there is no appetite for righteousness. There can't be. There's no place for it. It doesn't fit into that set of desires. If you thirst for self-gratification, then you have no desire for godliness. You can't. These two things exist in opposite ends of the scope here. So Jesus says, "No man having also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth the new, for he saith the old is better. Say, I don't like a simple thing, man. I mean, it is, some of you probably heard this before, that everyone has this God-shaped void in their life. And I've heard this as a point of evangelism. Like, everyone has this. The reality is, not everyone has that. Some people are perfectly satisfied without God in their life. In fact, you read in Revelation where there's this group of folks and they say, we're rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. There is no God-shaped void there. There is self-satisfied, basically content people. I mean, they've got what they want, and they don't see a need for God. I've also heard it said, you know, the threat of you don't get saved, or you're going to be separated from God forever. For most people, that doesn't matter. I would say most. I don't want to be too broad brush here, but for a lot of people, separation from God is what they desire in their life. They're not interested in God being in their life. Some people who claim Christianity, they're not interested in God being in their life. I mean, maybe on the times that they want him there. But the point is, when Jesus Christ says, look, you drink the old and you get an appetite for the old, there is no appetite for the new. You don't have these secret desires where I really wish God would do this. No. Lots of people are perfectly satisfied in this life with what they have. They're not interested in God. They don't even see a need for God. And so the basis of Christianity, let me just say this, the basis of Christianity is not how you feel about God. The basis of Christianity is not that I have this secret hole in my heart for God. That's not a basis for Christianity. The basis of Christianity is it's true. Jesus Christ is a real person. He's God manifest in the flesh. He came to die on a cross. He came to resurrect. He came to reconcile mankind to God Almighty. And so it's true, verifiable by all kinds of evidence. It's not true because we appeal to the emotional and the hole in your heart thing, and deep down you have this. Jesus Christ says, look, some people get a taste for the old and they don't have any desire for the new. They're not interested in the new. And me telling them that you really secretly have a desire for the new, it's not true. You don't. So this appetite, I told you about it religiously. The Jews were many of them loved the old. So when Jesus Christ shows up, not interested. We're so disinterested, we want to get rid of Jesus Christ in a lot of them in their minds. They don't mind reading Moses, but they have no use for Jesus Christ. So they don't mind the Old Testament, but the New Testament's a bunch of made up nonsense to them. That's a reality of this day in a lot of Jewish minds. But it's a scary thought and a reality, though. Like I said, some people get a taste for the old, and there is no desire for the new. Now let's make it a little more personal. You have a desire for the old. There's a part of you that does. This flesh, old. That's what we want. We want the old stuff. We want the old life. We want the old stuff, the old pleasure. It's just, the flesh is about the flesh. It just wants what it wants. It's me, 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 and I want, I want, I want. But maybe you're here, and you know, you're in love with the old things. You are in perfect control of those desires and appetites. hear that voice that says, I want the pleasure, I want this, I want to chase this, I'm going to chase whatever the old life is. You're in control of that appetite. And maybe this morning it's time to redirect your heart toward the things of God. And I say that having observed in the last couple years, even in my own life, having observed this people who were once interested in the things of God, now not really that interested. I mean, they're interested when they're interested, but not really that interested. Having observed I've listened to preachers and people talk about church. there is a decline in the desire for the things of God generally, but there is an incline in things and a desire for the world, flesh, all those things. And so maybe in the last couple years, you've lost your appetite for the Lord. And the Lord said, look, you get an appetite for the old, you're not going to have an appetite for the new. You're not going to have any desire for these new things. You're not going to have a desire for a new life. Maybe in the last few years you've lost your appetite for the Lord, and it shows. I give you a very personal and, well, illustration. So, I see how the world creeps in. But when it's been a few years, but on Wednesday night, we'd have a pretty good group of people. And now, there's not that many. But people still want to be prayed for. But they don't want to show up to pray. I think that's a little bit of appetite for the old, not for the new. Hey, here's my, you pray, but I don't want to hear your requests. Hey, just watch the way it goes. It's what Jesus Christ said. No man having drunk the old has an appetite for the new. You just got a taste for the old. You got a taste for the world. You got a taste for life, the cares of this world. So all of these new things, they're not desirable. Why? Because we all make the same decisions about what's a priority in life. We all have to make these decisions about priorities. Everybody has to make these decisions about priorities. Maybe you're here, on another note, maybe you're here and you think that Jesus Christ's offer to you is to make a better version of you. He's not trying to make a better version of you. He's trying to make a new you. He's trying to make a child of God. You understand that a better version of you and me still isn't a child of God? Just a better version? Jesus Christ came to make new creatures, God's children. He isn't trying to patch you up with some better cloth. He's making a new person. Simple point in all of this, to examine our own lives. Maybe it's been more than a few years, I don't know. But if you've developed a taste for the old, guaranteed that's the reason you don't desire the new. And the reason that we can blame it on all kinds of stuff in life, but it boils down to we all do what we want to do. We all make the same decisions. We all have similar responsibilities and things like that. But what Jesus Christ is warning about, He's making a new covenant, a new life. But if you can develop this over time, and you can fall back into this over time, where I start loving the old things and Parallel with that, I stop loving the new things. And it shows. It shows in our lives. But I don't want to say that just to, it's just a matter of the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Things can change. You remember what Jesus Christ came to do? Make new creatures. New life. Let's get back to the new life. What was that like when we had the new life, when we're living out the new life? Today's a good day to make a decision about that. I know you're going to have to make multiple decisions about these things, but I just want you to examine your own life about this. And you find the world's crept in, the old stuff's crept in, and your life is growing more and more distant from God. There's a reason for that. And you'll find that as you grow distant from God, you don't desire the things of God. And that's just the way that thing works. But I say this to invite you, to encourage you. I don't know, maybe make a decision about it today. Maybe think about it. Maybe it's time to, you know what? I've rolled this around and I've noticed this happening in my life for a while now. And now that crazy whatever preacher standing up there saying it, well, maybe it's time to do something about it. Maybe it's time to do something about it. As Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano, make some self-evaluating, self-critical, think about these things in your life, your relationship to the Lord. Think about these things. As Sam plays, we can bow our heads, close our eyes. Do some business with God.